They say the best things in life are free. And you know something? They're right. Jimmy Stewart here. Want to invite you to download your free audiobook now. Just punch in audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow and get yours today. Go on now, you can afford it.
Beating back wild-eyed Blackhawk fans in Chicago, I'm Colin Byrd.
From the eye of June gloom in California, I am Michelle Naranjo.
Fresh out of beer in Knoxville, Tennessee, I'm Zach Bowman.
Lathering up with aloe, I'm your resident Floridian, Jeffrey Ross.
From the Palmer House Hotel in Chicago, I'm Eric Kritko.
Keeping things running like a well-oiled machine, I'm your host, Craig Cole.
Scheduling my next prostate biopsy, I'm producer Ben Sanders.
This is Roundabout.
Hello and welcome to Roundabout, episode number 39, our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you may have missed.
Every week, like vaudevillian stars of yesteryear, the Roundabout crew entertains you with an awe-inspiring variety show. Eagle-eyed sharpshooter Zach Bowman picks fleas off his hound dog's back with a Winchester repeating rifle. Load it on Sunday and shoot it all week. Daredevil Jeffrey Ross smashes his hobby horse through a wall of flaming timbers like a turn-of-the-century Kool-Aid man. Oh yeah. Special guest and escape artist extraordinaire, Colin Byrd, will bring the house to its feet as he masterfully extricates himself from a straitjacket while hanging upside down in a tank of water. Bringing the show to its climax, Michelle Naranjo performs a revealing rendition of the Can-Can. Magician Benjamin the Great wows the audience with an array of impressive illusions and sleight-of-hand confidence tricks. If you're lucky, he'll perform his signature move, the Time Warp. Starting half an hour late, he'll convince everyone the show is actually on time. Rounding out the performance, Eric Tritko, dressed in blackface, brings everything full circle with a soulful rendition of Al Jolson's Mammy. The sun shines east, the sun shines west, but I know which podcast best. Roundabout! So here we all are, everyone, again, episode number 39. Ben, why do we put ourselves through this every week?
I really don't know, Craig.
But Eric, I've got to say your audio quality was a little weaker than usual. Did you pre-record all of your racist remarks again?
Why, yes, Craig, I am coming to you pre-recorded. Didn't you know that already, or didn't our lovely producer Ben Sanders inform you that?
I didn't.
Oh, well, it's even better that way, because then, you know, you're more clueless than you are normally.
Eric, that's so funny. Who did you mug to be able to afford to go on vacation? They must have been pretty well off, or at least employed. Ooh. So everyone, here we are. Welcome again. Ouch. Double ouch. Jeffrey, you are joining us from Florida, as usual.
Hello.
I trust the beaches are still unoiled.
Here they are. They're a little damp because it's pouring rain out, but no oil as of yet.
Just aloed, right? Aloe vera.
That's just from my sunburn. I've been in convertibles for the last week and a half.
Oh, okay.
Lucky.
It's a rough life, but someone's got to do it.
Absolutely. And Michelle, you are surviving out there in California.
I'm also surviving a sunburn. I shouldn't say I was in a convertible because it's the back of my thighs that are peeling.
Oh, that's charming.
Wow.
I'm not even going to say anything. Eric.
What?
You have to be in quite a position to get the back of your thighs burn.
Yeah, like face down on the sand kind of thing.
Oh, that's a compromising. Well, Eric is out on vacation. Change the subject. Ben, Mr. Sanders,
Craig.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You are the driving force behind all of that, everything that we do here. So, thank you. We have a very special guest as well, Colin Byrd.
Calm down.
Am I still special at this point?
You're always special.
You're special, Colin.
You'll always be special to us, Colin. Always.
I think I saw Eric out there. I know he says he wasn't out there with the Blackhawk fans, but I think he was out there with the 2 million of them, mindless drones, ruining my city.
Colin, can I tell you something? You kept IMing me today and saying, oh, I don't know how long it's going to take me to get home because of the Blackhawks. And I'd call on in on Skype on my phone only because, you know, I'm just worried about the Blackhawks. And I was thinking, like, is the CIA following him? Like, I had no idea what you were talking about.
Well, I didn't think it was such a big deal either. I mean,
what are they?
It's an ice hockey team. Oh. And it's like, you know, I work downtown and there was 2 million people down here. And, you know, usually this is a city of 9 million people. So, I mean, where do they all come from? You know, I don't know. That's out of control. Everyone should be at work.
Isn't it summer? Like, doesn't their ice melt and stuff?
Well, they also have hockey teams down here in Florida. So your theory doesn't hold water.
I thought they were roller hockey down there. The hardest of all hockey players.
Really? Zach Bowman.
Greg Cole.
Just checking, that's all. Carry on. Have you started a new business, Zach?
I wish I had.
Because we got a picture sent to us courtesy of Mirko Reinhardt over in Germany. And he's got a box of... it's called a larder. I assume it's an ice chest or something, a freezer. Larder? Yeah,
it looks like some sort of
refrigerator. I think
yeah,
that's
energy
the English
efficient
term.
Refrigerator. Yeah, yeah. For $100, steel, man.
Or is that pounds?
Or euro?
But it's you're a Bowman.
Bowman.
Bowman, two N's.
Yes.
And no W.
We are actually from Germany originally.
Exactly.
Turns out. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Isn't that weird?
Isn't that wrong country, Ben?
I know. Yeah, I just wanted to say that.
We aren't Dutch.
You're from
Have you ever heard
though?
Dutch from a couple weeks ago on Roundabout? It is the craziest sounding language ever. I am not even joking, Michelle. I can hear your skepticism as you heavily breathe into the microphone.
I don't believe you.
Is it literally the weirdest sounding?
Apparently.
Golly gee. So Bowman, get your Bowman anyway. Larders, $100 or 100 some other denomination of currency I'm not familiar with. So the gang's all here. And speaking of Mirko, since he's the one that took that photo, I will not be here next week. So you guys are going to have to fend for yourself. I will be in the land of Mirko and honey. That's right. I'm going to Germany for a press trip. I will be out all week.
For what's the event, Craig?
It is... You sound so excited that I won't be here, Michelle.
No, it's the event that makes me laugh.
Well, Continental, the supplier company, is hosting sort of a round table or an open
soiree.
House. Exactly. A junket inviting select members of the media. I am 10% of the journalists that are attending this event. I'm kind of a big deal.
No.
So I will be living it up in Germany all of next week.
So
battling
no one else
jet
wanted
lag
to go.
And exhaustion. What's that, Michelle?
No one else wanted to go.
I was fortunate enough to be able to attend the event. It will be a great time. I am
Continental.
Sure.
What do they do?
Tire
what
people?
Don't they do? Oh, they do much more than tires. They do safety systems. They do braking systems, suspension parts, all kinds of electronics.
They make the hybrid systems for Ford too, don't they? Or the old EV system? Aren't they partnering with that?
So, I know they were Sanyo was doing the battery, but I think yeah, Continental might very well be a part of that, Colin, but I can't say for certain. So yes, you guys are going to have to fend for yourselves. Eric will be hosting, I believe. He picked up the gauntlet, so should be a good time. And Zach, you will also be gone next week as well, won't you?
I will be.
You're going to the old world. As it were.
Not next week. No, next week I'll be gone for the next 2 weeks. Next Friday I will be in the Old Dominion in Virginia, meeting up with some old friends, and the week after that I will be in Norway.
Oh. Isn't that weird?
Wrong country again.
Damn it! Yeah.
Now, are those old friends old as in you've known them a long time, or old as in age?
Old as in I've known them a long time. Okay. I've known them since before college.
Wow. That would be a long time. And what are you going to Norway for? That sounds like an interesting trip. How did they give that to you, being the greenhorn?
Complete luck, turns out. I guess the individual who was scheduled to attend beforehand had something else crop up that was more pressing. And
you got BD.
I'm probably not. I can't say one way or the other. I suppose anything's possible.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
But the swelling hasn't gone down yet.
Anyway, it worked out in my favor, so
that's, no score.
That's the deal.
Well, that'll be a golly gee fun trip for you there, Zach.
I hope so.
Have
I
you ever been so. To Europe before?
I have, yes.
Oh, well, then I can't give you any advice.
Well, where do you think that he got dressed up like the leprechaun for that one picture?
Oh, you were in Ireland. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, there you go.
You should. We paid for him to go over to Ireland for that, right?
We better not have, because we don't make any money doing this.
I thought that's where all our revenue went.
All of our revenue goes, well, we don't have any. So if you're listening out there and you feel like sending us some cash, please, we will more than happily accept it. We take pesos, we take euros, we take dollars, rupees, yen, yuan, and whatever other stuff you can send. We do have a multicultural audience, Ben, don't we?
Yeah, Craig.
People all over the world can listen to us.
Yeah, Craig.
That's the magic of the interweb.
Yeah, Craig.
But you don't need me to tell you that.
Yeah, okay.
You know, so this show has been very
sporadic,
mixed, haphazard. It's almost like it's just whatever comes your way. Kind of a grab bag, if you will.
Is it like somebody loaded a bunch of news stories in a shotgun and just sprayed them out? Is that a good analogy?
Sure. Sure. Good enough.
Well, what's the theme this week, Ben?
Let me see. Oh, it just happens it's grab bag. Mark II.
So this
redemption back with a vengeance.
You have to come up with the appropriate Lincoln name then that makes absolutely no sense.
Michelle, can I finish?
What?
I chose Mark II for a different reason. I'm not referencing Lincoln in this particular reference of the Mark name. I'm referencing the Supermarine Spitfire fighter plane from the Second World War. But not that you knew that.
Because we're an aeronautical podcast.
Well, it actually ties in quite nicely with my Audible pick of the week, which we will get to later, dear listener. So
it all back to yourself, Craig.
Now, I'm the host. I can do whatever I damn well please, Michelle.
Oh, yeah. God. When is he leaving town?
Tomorrow. Cool. Oh, Jesus, save us. All right, well, should we get to the news portion of the show, guys?
Absolutely, Craig.
Silence.
I think that's a no. Well,
again, Ben, I have to ask you, why do we put ourselves through this?
Why? What's our first story? Craig, I think you have it.
Vans. Okay, so this story is on the New York Times, which, if you didn't know, is considered the newspaper of record. So they are a fairly trustworthy source. I guess in New York and in Brooklyn and in Queens and in the Bronx, there is somewhat of a war going on. Now, it's not a war on drugs or a war on prostitution or anything. People aren't shooting guns anywhere.
Oh.
But I guess...
Bombs.
Yes. There are areas of the boroughs that are not connected by, like, the subway or city busing. So, apparently... Play the buzzer, Ben. Apparently, they have these shuttle vans that drive people around and pick them up and take them to various points in the city. And I guess there's this big battle going on between the licensed drivers and these uninsured, unlicensed, like, scab people picking people up.
Ew. Picking scabs.
And that's an unhealthy habit. Take it from Michelle. You do not want to pick off scabs. But,
No.
Train wreck. No.
Yes. There people are having their other van drivers are having their windows smashed, their tires slashed, all kinds of havoc going on. It's like a battlefield out there.
Smashed and slashed?
Have you guys ever heard of this sort of urban warfare before? I'm just going to throw that out there. Zach, you've had a lot of stories in your life. You've seen a lot. Anything like this?
Nothing that would involve... You know, the West Side Story of vans. You know, that's something new for me, I guess. Yeah. Sorry.
But this apparently this story spans far beyond financial problems. The legal competitors say that the unlicensed van drivers are a safety menace in that they are running red lights, they drive against traffic, and they cut people off. Now that's just
so basically
incredible.
They're every so, other New York yeah. driver.
They just don't have the, they don't have the paperwork to be legal taxi drivers.
Yeah, legal assholes.
Colin, you live in a big city, biggest city in the Midwest, in fact. Any of this going on there?
No, but I mean, like, this is sort of typical to me. It seems like it's like the city, you know, they control how many taxi medallions there can be, and so they're curtailing demand for, you know, what there actually needs to be. So it looks like in New York, you know, they're fulfilling there is a need for this that they're not fulfilling, and it seems like basically it's the crux of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, I mean, like, this part always irritates me about the medallions, because this is what people who have the medallion say. It's like, oh, you know, the other people are a security risk, which, I mean, maybe some of them are, for all we know. In Mexico City, when I was there, you know, there's so few legal taxis. Like, all the – they have a public bus system, but it's so horrible that there are private buses everywhere, and they're little, like, VW minibuses and VW Beetles, but – sometimes you get in one of those and you just don't come back. I mean, that's the truth of it.
Why were you in Mexico City, Colin?
For fun, leisure.
It's more like danger and drugs, it sounds like.
Like he said, fun, leisure.
Oh, God. It's like smoking a pack of cigarettes. Is it really? That's what I've heard, at least, the air quality. Is it really that bad down there?
Yes. We got there, and then the first day, my friend completely passed out, and he needed, what are they called, waking sense salts or whatever.
Smelling salts?
To get back up. Smelling salts, and he was out of commission for, like, the rest of the time we were there.
Really?
So, yeah.
Just from that's the like fumes? Blast for him.
Yeah.
You sure that wasn't after a night of binge drinking?
You know, yeah, it was a combination of drinking and the altitude there and the horrible pollution. It all got to him.
Took 16 years off your life, probably.
Yeah. So if you have a weak constitution, any of you guys, I wouldn't say go in there.
I have trouble eating ice cubes. I drink water, frankly. It cuts the lining of my stomach.
I thought you had trouble lifting your wafer-thin wrists.
I do.
It's delicate white wafer-thin wrists.
Well, I have osteoporosis. Everybody, it's no laughing matter, Zach, all right? Don't appreciate that.
Need your little calcium laced chocolate cubes.
What are they, Boniva or something?
Don't even go there, Boniva.
Ben talking jive here.
Cracks me up.
So yeah, let this be a lesson to you if you are traveling to New York or one of the other boroughs out there. Watch out for the dangerous and unlicensed van/taxi drivers. You could be taking your life into your own hands.
Isn't this kind of just another type of union battle?
I don't know, Michelle. Oh. Why don't you tell us? You used to work for Solidarity House, didn't you?
Well, I mean, I think this battle's been goes on all over the world, because I know my friends when they lived in Korea told me that all the minicabs, the illegal cabs, were all Kias, right? And they called them kimchi cars. And it was kind of similar complaints about them, and they would fight with the real taxi drivers. Like, they, you know, had to be really careful around restaurants and clubs when they pull up, because if a real taxi driver saw people hiring a mini cab, who often charges less, and like Colin says, they will go places where sometimes other taxi drivers won't, the taxi drivers would attack them. And I saw it happen in the UK as well. But the thing is, with licensed cab drivers, they have to go through a lot of training and pay for it, but they are kind of like a union.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I totally agree with you. It's like they're, you know, they're the old guard. They're raising the barrier of entry. They, you know, they have somebody who will help them do that, which is these municipalities, and then it makes it hard for these little guys, you know?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Michelle, you've got a story all about taking your life into your hands.
I do.
I'm trying.
Yes,
to say,
I do. Okay. And you know what? I have broken every one of my roundabout rules, because I chose for my grab bag bit video
for
a podcast.
Special
should be riveting.
So this is for our live viewers, because our loyal fans, I guess.
Fans, we love them the best, apparently.
We love
apparently
it best.
So tell us, what do you got here?
Oh,
this is a video of Chinese traffic accidents that I found on our good friend Gary Grant's blog, thegarageblog.com. And I mean, he found it, so I've got to give him credit. It's on YouTube. But it's all these crazy Chinese intersection pictures that are just – I want the Benny Hill music while this is playing.
Where's my bell, Ben? Ding, play my ding. Goddamn bell.
Ding, ding, ding.
There it is.
My favorite is the in the early where the
–
In the early part – in the earlier portion.
In the early. Jeffrey Ross, new immigrant. Just
in the early times.
In the early. In the early part of the video where the scooter hits the bike who looks like they stopped just to get hit.
Yeah,
it's
know,
laughably it's, bad.
It's like deer caught in the headlights.
Yeah, it's like, I'm going to get hit, but I should stop.
I mean, tell me what you guys think. Does this street look like a sidewalk? Is it the same intersection? I don't think it is.
This is hilarious.
It's at least it might be two. It's two intersections, right?
Look at this. They both slow down and then
they still like boom.
It's like,
they had a heavy lunch. What can you say? I mean, it's kind of funny because we talked about it a while ago, and I can't remember the name of the documentary, but there was a documentary on Discovery that was about the evolution of traffic, and the guy talked about some communities in the Netherlands where they're removing traffic signals and signs because supposedly everybody engages on a, you know, if there's no warning signs that they can ignore, like it means you engage the drivers of bicycles, cars, and motorcycles if you aren't ignoring signs for some reason. That was their theory. And they say that their accident number went down. And Ben sent me a great article this week that was on Slate about the evolution of stop signs and how people don't pay attention to them anymore. But these videos kind of disprove both of these theories.
If you can, Ben, you should move it to a minute, 2 minutes in. It's like
2 minutes, 7 seconds is
the best. It's like a Mazda 6 slowly is doing a right turn right into a person. It doesn't even stop.
Oh, is that where the guy's just standing there?
Yeah.
That's the best of them. Yeah, I agree. There. Oh, here it is. Okay. So this car's making a left-hand turn, and this guy is just standing.
Boom!
And then right here,
the bus ran over that whole family.
Craig, the bus ran over a whole family and laughed.
with pure
that's
joy.
That's comedy,
in his voice.
Michelle. That is
pure
comedy.
Joy.
Look at him. Look at him. Look at him screaming. Oh, wait.
Oh, look at the blood run cold.
I didn't dissect wild animals that I captured.
Is that bus going backwards?
Yes.
And that bus is like, it's...
It's more like a golf cart.
Yeah, it's an extended golf cart.
So, yeah, my pappy was over in the Middle Kingdom a few years ago for work, and he can attest personally to how bad the drivers are over there. He says road signs, stoplights, they're merely suggestions if they're there. People drive on the sidewalk.
God damn.
Buses, bikes, cars just intermingle.
I wonder what the insurance. Oh!
Does it mention anywhere if people actually died in any of these things we're watching?
They look like they're okay.
It would make the story better.
Except that family.
Make the story better.
They had it coming.
Fortunately,
you walk in the street, you're
going to get hit. No animals were injured in this filming.
But lots of people were.
In a recent auto line, I remember John McElroy saying that they for the entire world that are the world's horns are louder now because of China and just because of mass production and volume. I think he said something like that. It's like 30% louder.
Wow!
I hate when like a
dead
nice
silence.
Car has a really weak horn.
Oh my God.
Well, good choice, Michelle. We always love these kinds of videos for audio podcasts, you know.
So obviously you're going to have to go to roundaboutshow.com. That's roundaboutshow.com and go to our show notes and see this awesome video for yourself.
I'm just going to park in this yard.
You guys, we got to like pool our money together and get a bunch of old cars and do Top Gear style stuff like this. Be hilarious. Hilarious.
How many plans do we have to do
I think we have something about that in the blind spot, but we'll get to that.
Well, Zachary. Wow. In the meanwhile, Zachary, why don't you tell us about your next story you got here? What's going on?
Yeah, so...
something about fancy pants?
Fancy pants.
Elegant trousers.
Right. So, Minnie got all uppity, and its current head honcho, Jim McDowell, decided to post a video on Facebook calling out Porsche to a race at Road Atlanta. And, you know, McDowell used to work for Porsche as a pretty high-up suit there. And the video was pretty entertaining. You should check it out on YouTube if you get a chance. But basically, you know, he plays on all the cliches about Porsches, about how they're sports cars, and they'll help you pick up women if you lose all your
hair. Increase the size of your
debt. Yeah. So Porsche decided to respond, and it should also be pointed out that McDowell made a little bit of fun of Porsche's current executive officer, Detlev von Platen. That's the guy's name, Detlev von Platen. And Mr. von Platen responded with a very cold-hearted but hilarious letter. I don't typically root for Porsche because they've been doing it for so long, and they win because they've been doing it so long, and it's all they do. All they do is build sports cars. So how hard could it be? But
I don't know, Zach. How hard could it be?
Could it f***ing be? Correct. Oh,
Christ's sake, Zach.
I mean,
there's no way a Mini is ever considered in the same.
I'm getting to that. Okay. So it turns out that Mini hadn't actually rented Road Atlanta proper. They just sort of picked up the paddock. So we're guessing that it was some sort of autocross type event, or maybe a series of stupid little quirky stunts like Mini pulls on its website all the time.
We're offline, by the way, you guys, on Ustream. We're off air.
Oh. Yeah, we were disconnected, and it's reconnected, I guess.
Too many F-bombs.
Like,
mission accomplished.
You crashed the internet again, Zach.
You use a hot pad.
A hot pad?
What are you talking about?
No, I was making spaghetti sauce, and I turned it off before the show started, and my gas stove is making that auto starter click sound right now, and it's driving me insane because I can hear it in the kitchen, and I'm in the other part of the house. I can just hear like this tick, 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 tick going on. It's driving me nuts. So I'm asking Henry to like disassemble the stove.
That's always good.
Send your 16-year-old
daughter. Use a hot pad, honey.
If Michelle's mic goes off, we know that she called 911.
Died in a fiery explosion. I have no idea where we were.
God damn it!
You were getting to the part about
the letter, right? Okay,
fancy pants.
Fancy pants, right? So Detlev von Platen sent a letter back to McDowell, an open letter that he posted on the internet, and part of the letter said, "While your challenge seems like a fun and lighthearted campaign, we'll stick to racing the way we have over the decades. We welcome you at Sebring, Le Mans, Daytona, or any other sanctioned race where there's more at stake than T-shirts and valet parking spaces."
Okay. Now, Zach, that was powerful, but can you read it with a German accent? It would be a lot more powerful. And in color.
I can do it. I don't know. Can you do, you do a pretty proper...
I mean, Craig wants to do it.
All right, Craig, go for it. Go for it, Craig. No, do it.
I can't do it as well. "While your challenge seems like a fun and lighthearted campaign, we'll stick to racing the way we have over the decades. We welcome you at Sebring, Le Mans, Daytona, or any other sanctioned race where there is more at stake than T-shirts and valet parking spaces." Yeah.
Well done, sir. And they also...
That was Craig going, no, I couldn't possibly. No.
It's called modesty, Michelle. You should try it sometime.
Well, since you asked, I guess I possibly could.
Well,
he follows earlier in his letter. He links to a particular Porsche advertisement that they just rolled out called "Racing, Not Posing." And he suggests that Mini go take a look at that if they need a reminder of the company's intent.
Perhaps it was directed at you, Mini. Just saying.
Porsche played it extremely well. I thought it was very, very well handled.
They kind of bitch slapped him, didn't they?
Super bitch slapped. Like, because the worst part is Minnie and McDowell, they took out a full page ad in the New York Times challenging Portia to a race and all this crap. And it was just really funny. It was well done. You know, it's I would still like to see more manufacturers take each other up on these challenges, because you see every now and then somebody will come up and challenge one company or another to some sort of battle.
Who was it proposed to have the new Super Duty and the new heavy duty Chevy truck?
Was that
Toa?
Was that Ford itself?
Yeah, it was Ford, and it was Chevy. It was proposing to Ford, right? And Ford said no.
Yeah. And you know, the same thing happened with the CTS-V challenge, you know, where Bob Lutz was like, may the best car win, and every other manufacturer just pussied out on it effectively. And
that's kind of different. I mean, the CTS-V has, you know, legitimate competition in most of the cars that it was competing against, but there's no way a Mini Cooper would be compared against the Porsche 911.
If you're on an autocross course, I bet you the Mini could win.
If you were on an autocross course, it would be pretty freaking close, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Either way, you know, while their response was really top notch and really well executed, I think that I would rather see, you know, car companies grow some balls and go at each other. I think that would be entertaining.
Be awesome. Be like an Apple keynote, Ben, to put it in your terms.
Oh, now I get it.
Steve Jobs goes after Microsoft.
I'm pretty stupid.
Well, you said it.
I mean, I sort of get it, though, Zach. It's like the legal ramifications. It's like if one proposes it, right? I mean, whoever the one is proposing it, I'm assuming is controlling the event. So they're going to make sure that it's stacked in their favor. You know, they may not win, but so why would you sign up for something like that if you're not going to really get any good publicity?
Yeah, because if he came out and said that, you know they've already tested it somewhere. Like,
yeah,
they probably had their hands on a 911 and found that maybe one certain turn at Road Atlanta had it too much, that the 911 wasn't as fast, I guess. I don't know. Well, there's too much marketing in the world nowadays for...
Interesting... I'm sorry.
Nothing. No, I was I'm just not. Talking. It's all right.
No, well,
that was a botched segue.
I'm sorry, guys. Trying to move things along. But continue what you're saying, Jeff, please.
Up next, Jeff talks about something not bad in Florida.
Hey, good segue. I didn't have to do it.
There's something not bad in Florida?
So after all of our stories that involved stupid people or dumb activities in Florida, like the girl shaving her legs while driving... Or
she
the stripper.
More than
it wasn't
that.
Her legs, honey.
Oh, that was her lady parts. Yes. Anyway, to make us sound a little better, I said we should sound smart. So
so we did.
We did one thing right in the last 39 episodes, and it comes from Lee County, which is South Florida. And one of the dealerships there is working with the county to teach the rescuers how to deal with hybrids and crashes. Because you shouldn't touch the orange wire, but it says that on the label, I guess. So
great story. What's our next one?
I gotta go, guys.
So wait, this was for Toyota and Ford. What kind of dealership? It was Ford. I mean, I'm interested in this because GM spent millions during the EV1 thing. Before it even started with the California emergency services training them on all of this. I'm wondering why they I don't know. It's kind of interesting to me that they didn't come up like GM isn't offering this documentation to everyone else already.
Well,
didn't they have shared?
It's a different system though, right? Than a hybrid system in terms of maintenance, I would assume.
Well, I bet like, there has to have been like a general like nationwide course of how to deal with a hybrid, but maybe these two dealerships are just looking for a way to teach the locals how to deal with it. I don't know, but it just, you know.
What do they get taught?
How to deal with a 240-volt battery system in the Prius instead of a typical 12-volt battery.
Which could equally kill you, though.
But I didn't know that the orange wire has enough power. It's got more power than a downed power line. I did not know that.
Wow.
According to this article, I don't know if the Southwestern Floridians are that bright, but...
So you shouldn't stick your tongue to this battery.
It's not a 9-volt.
Oh, yeah.
Do any of you guys know about, like, mechanic certification? Do you need a certification for a hybrid system? Because I imagine you wouldn't really necessarily know how to deal with one if you've never seen it. Yeah.
What's this big orange wire do?
I'll bite into it. Zach, you're ASE certified, aren't you?
That was remarkably on time, Ben. We're all very proud.
It was Ben's last bit of caffeine pushing through.
Something else pushing through. Shortly.
Get the 21 gigawatts. Passes out on the mouse.
Zach, you're ASC certified, aren't you?
I'm not, no.
I was.
Oh. I just take part and put it back together.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go.
I was ASC certified in suspension, brakes, and air conditioning.
If I had a Burger King crown, I would give it to you, Jeff. Totally.
That'd look awesome.
Just turn it inside out and write class of 2001.
Oh, God. All right, so our next story... Colin?
Yo.
You've got our next story. This is quite the mashup of of a something.
I'm sorry. I'm like stepping all over you.
Craig, you doing okay, buddy?
Your blood sugar's low.
This isn't your week off yet, Craig.
Week off? It's far from week off.
Yeah, you're going to be sleeping around a round table.
Oh, God. Just tell the story,
please. Is it a swingers meeting? Is that what he's doing? Sleeping around?
I took too much insulin. So, anyway, you have a Miata Jeepster thing.
Yeah, so this is courtesy of Jalopnik, and it's a Craigslist ad here from Harpsville, Alabama. Those good folks down there, and they've made a one of a kind. That's what it says here on the ad. I mean, it's actually a good, it's a good listing since that's what I deal with. You know, it tells you what it is, and it's a mini platform with a Jeep. Oh, what Jeep is it though? They didn't even say it. Well,
mini or Miata?
It's a Willys. It's a flat fender Willys, is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, you're right, Craig. It's a Miata. I don't know. Got mini on the mind. So. Yeah, and then they put a Jeep body on it with current Jeep doors, I would say, but an old Jeep body. And it's like 1 inch off. It's 1 inch
off
the ground.
You didn't drink
coffee, Ben. I would buy it if it came with a torpedo in the picture.
Yeah, I know, right? I was looking. Is that a torpedo or like a
I think it's a dummy bomb. Yeah, I think it's like a test bomb that you drop on test things.
I think it comes with it. I don't know. I mean, they put it in the ad.
We called those Craig bombs and Nom.
Hey, I hate you.
How do you think this thing drives, though? It's like, because it's got different gauge wheels, and it's, I mean, I don't really know what's left on this that's a mini, you know?
Well, it's pretty,
sorry, I'm saying it. A Miata, sorry.
Pretty low to the ground. Probably hugs the road like a bear hug.
If this thing actually handled like an actual Miata, I would take this to track days. I think it would be hilarious.
It's got the aerodynamics of a brick, though. But it's awesome.
I'm actually.
Did they say how much they wanted for it?
$3,500.
Yeah, $3,500.
So how did you stumble across this Craigslist posting on Jalopnik, Colin?
I went there.
Wow, great story. So anyway,
I was gonna say it's you know,
Craig
Christmas
Cole asking the hard questions.
Would you guys say
watch out, Brokaw? All I can say, Jennings,
say
I'm coming after you.
This platform. Is it better though than a Jeep Compass? I mean, it probably
hands down, hands down.
So. Yeah.
Even Michelle agreed, and she has universally low standards.
So you're saying you have a chance?
I'm going on vacation with you.
You don't know what you got yourself into, Michelle. Agreeing to some road trip here. All righty. Colin, thank you for that.
No,
it's a very interesting find
making
that you dug up on Craigslist on Jalopnik. Appreciate it. And now it is the commercial break portion of the show, so I invite you to sit down.
Good, I can go to the loo.
Yes, you can, Michelle, if you chose to do.
Colin, I know you'll have to go to the bathroom later, so you better stay put.
What? What?
Oh. He ate something funky last night.
Yeah, lots of beer, wasn't it? Or no? I don't know. Audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow. I invite you to enter this URL into your web browser of choice, be it Safari 5 or Google Chrome, Firefox. Go there and sign up for a free subscription with Audible. Now, what is Audible, you ask? What is Audible?
What's Audible, Craig?
I don't know. Audible is hands down, the number one spot on the internet to download quality audiobooks and other audio content from. They are unmatched. They have, in fact, more than 75,000 titles in their library. Ben, can you even count to 75,000? Don't even try, because you're not going to make it in time. Huge library of different books to choose from. Now, audiobooks may sound like a snooze fest at first, but trust me, they're not. Now, I thought they'd be boring, too, until I got my free audiobook. And I'll tell you what, I am hooked. Hooked like a carp or a crappie or some other fish.
You God, would be a crappie.
yes.
This episode, man, I swear to God.
You picked a good one, Colin.
Kill it with fire.
Audible Podcast. Again, that URL is audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow. Please go there, sign up for the service, download your free audiobook. You can get just about anything in their library from there. Right, Ben?
They have audiobooks, they have podcasts, they have live events. There's a ton of good stuff to choose from.
And if you're in Europe, a metric ton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But is it free for everybody?
Yes.
It is,
indeed. Your
first
book is F-R-E-E free.
But, of course, when my 2 weeks free trial runs out, I have to give the book back, don't I, Craig?
That is a common misconception. That book, believe it or not, is yours to keep forever. It is yours to keep forever. Let me say that once again with more emphasis. That is yours to keep forever.
Like forever, ever?
Like for all time. Yes.
Forever, ever?
Yes, exactly,
so choose wisely. Pick a good one. And speaking of picking a good one, I've got a pick of the week for us this week. The book I listened
to. Oh, good. More ghosts.
Oh, I hate you, Ben. The book I chose to highlight this week is called Whirlwind, The Air War Against Japan, 1942 to 1945, by Barrett Tillman. Very good book, by the way, if you're into history or into the Second World War, which I am. Very detailed chronology of the air battle against the Japanese during the Second World War. Very interesting. Talks about how the Boeing B-29 bomber superfortress was developed, how it was implemented in combat, and how they had to switch strategies. You know, and,
I'm sorry, I dozed off there.
Now, Craig is making a very good point. Not all audiobooks are for all people, but they Audible has something for everyone, even people like Craig. You know what I mean?
None of his recommendations have been...
There's got to be someone out there listening who matches Craig's
just
sort of
because I don't like
profile.
Coloring books, Michelle. just because I don't confuse the gender of my cat.
No, you know what? My stepdad would like this book.
It's a very good book. Did you know the U.S. Army Air Force firebombed 16 square miles of Tokyo?
Maybe I'll send it to him.
16 square miles of Tokyo in March of 1945 were burned to the ground. Didn't know that. You could learn more about that if you download Whirlwind, The Air War Against Japan, 1942 to 1945.
With its industry in ruins, Japan's chilling policy of arming women and schoolchildren with spears reminds us of the irresistible power of the concentrated Allied assault on Dai Nippon, even as it poses moral questions that persist today.
And that is
it's like a museum in my mind.
You're not helping us, Zach. It's narrated by Mel Foster. Check it out on Audible. Again, the URL, get your free audiobook, is audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow. Sign up for a free 14-day trial. Get your free audiobook. And we thank them for their support. And with that, I think we can move on to our blind spot story of the week. When news topics go unnoticed or underreported or otherwise fall off the radar, they land in our blind spot. And this week we've got a story about junky old cars, Michelle? What did you find here?
What did I find? Oh, this article. Sorry. Just kidding. I was trying to fix the stove during that break. It's still clicking. It's driving me nuts.
Just unplug it.
There's a race that I think is possibly one of the most funnest. Well, you know, it just sounds like it would be a really cool thing for the Roundabout Show to do. I like the idea of lemons. But I'm not going to keep a junker and work on it every day. Zach, you are like so much better than me. And I know that the guys around here that work on their lemons cars spend a lot of time and money and effort on them. This little event makes so much more sense to me. And it's a race from New York to New Orleans. And
the rules are
basically from New York to New Orleans.
Oh, and it's called Nolens.
Nolens. It's called the Babe Rally because it's Big Apple to Big Easy. Oh. And the only rule is that the car has to be purchased for under $500.
Well, now that sounds like my kind of race.
Doesn't that sound fun?
Awesomely fun.
We could race each other.
It would actually be a lot of fun. What we should all do is buy cars and try to meet at some location.
Oh, brilliant.
That's what we should do.
Until they explode on the highway.
We die in a fiery, fiery death.
What if
that could be worse.
What could go wrong? You know, really. Michelle, if you had to pick a $500 car, what would it be?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'd have to look at Craigslist. I'm sure.
Well, I mean, if you had a choice of some classic old junker.
You don't want to copy Craig. Come on.
I don't. Gosh, I don't know. I haven't.
I mean, a Dodge Aries kind of suits your style.
I haven't specced that price point in a long time. But you know what? I have always said that I want a K car.
Oh, this is your chance, lady.
A nice, reliant automobile.
Oh, yeah. And Jeff, do you have any things that would tickle your fancy to drive?
Well, I remember my third car was an 88 Ford Escort that I bought for $400. But it had one of those nifty 007 options where if I put it in neutral and gun the gas, I fog the car behind me. You know, so they lose my trail.
Smoke trail?
Yep, smoke screen. That was a $2 option.
That's $2 a quart of oil,
I thought that was standard on all Escorts, actually.
Well, mine was it literally billowed the smoke out. I loved it.
Literally.
Was it a diesel?
It was a PO Escort.
Oh, here we go. I've got a 1989 Toyota Supra for $650.
I already found a VW Golf for $400.
Oh, fucker. That's for you, Ben.
Thank you.
Jeez.
I'm going to look local to me and see what I can.
This is too much fun. We totally have to do this.
I think we're in, right?
I
Mercury
think,
Sable,
I'll,
1500.
I'll do a Mazda B4000 with a manual. I think you get those for $500.
I can't even decide. There are so many good choices.
Ford Focus.
Mazda 929. Yes, they did make a 929. So, Michelle, what time of year do they run this race, and what are some of the cars that they had?
It's going on right now. We missed this year, so we have to bet on trying to all get along until 2012.
2012?
What?
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 Oh,
this is
sorry,
ridiculous.
11.
I thought it was annual. Yeah, okay.
Michelle
just
has got biannual confused with other buys.
I have a rally point, and we all get $500 cars and meet in, like, St. Louis.
Yeah.
Drink beer.
Well, there's always that abattoir that we found on, what's that site called? Rendezvous.
Oh, it was Nebraska.
Was that it?
Someplace in Nebraska. Cabela's or
yeah.
Was it a meatpacking plant?
It was Nebraska.
Yeah. So we will definitely keep this on our radar for next year. Colin, are you game?
Yeah.
What are you going to drive? What would be your choice?
I told you a minute ago.
Well, I'm asking you again.
Mazda rebadged Ford Ranger. I've always wanted to drive one.
Craig just blacked out for a little bit.
Craig has many strokes from every now and again. You have to excuse him.
What are you going to take, Colin?
Well, now, Colin, I don't think we got to you yet.
It's like having dinner with your drunk uncle, you know?
Or your Alzheimer's afflicted grandfather. Colin, what would you drive? You meet new people every day.
A Mazda B4000.
Oh, I'm not familiar with that. Is that like the Millennia?
It's the it's Mazda's version of the Ford Ranger.
Oh no, you know what? I think it's actually Mazda's version of the Ford Ranger. All right.
Actually, I think it was a co-op deal.
Was it?
I think so, wasn't it?
I don't know.
The Mercury Villager.
Started like in the 1970s then, and I wasn't around.
You know what? I've got to ask you guys. What have you all been driving lately? That's right.
That was the old crappy one.
What the hell was that? I was like, yeah, I got to listen to some big block. Gonna
Zach
get me through
just
the
hung
the
up
show.
On us, Ben. That's right, folks. And I did just say, folks, it's time to poke around inside the garage a little bit. So
he said poke.
What?
I think the gas is getting to Michelle.
Her house explodes. He said poke. He said garage. Oh, my God. Colin's a funny name.
It's like the giggly episode. What's going on?
It's the we don't know
what's death episode.
Well, before we get into what everybody's been driving, we received a little phone message in our Google Voice inbox regarding this very segment. So, Ben, roll that clip.
Hold on. Oh, I forgot you were going to do this now. I thought you were going to wait where he's listed. All right.
What's up, Roav? This is your favorite podcaster, Jeffrey Ross, calling from Miami South Beach, driving a 2010 Aston Martin DBS with a full 510 horsepower coming from the V12. I really hope you can hear this because it's going to be great.
Jesus Christ.
I'll talk to you later, guys. Bye.
Jeffrey Ross is one of our many fan, isn't he, Ben?
One of our many fan. I've heard of him.
He was smirking, I think.
He should have been smirking. Jesus Christ.
That's a beautiful car.
I was a little confused when I read the Google transcript.
It transcripts it for you?
Yeah.
Horribly.
So I was just going on that because it's so accurate. And it said, "What's up, bro? Labs. This is your favorite projects. Church after from Miami, South Beach. Driving a 2010 Aston Martin Levi's with PayPal's $510 are coming from the beach girl. I really hope you can hear this, cuss. It's going to be great. Bye-bye. I'll you later, guys. Bye."
Wow, that's almost exactly what I said.
I know.
That's
pretty
hilarious.
Good.
So, Jeff, now that we're in the garage, why don't you tell us what you've been driving lately?
Unfortunately, I did not have any Levi's.
You weren't wearing pants? Naughty.
I wasn't wearing Levi's.
That's Michelle's how Michelle got that sunburn.
Yeah.
No, I was in the new Aston DBS Volante, which is their speak for convertible.
Yeah, why don't you tell us what you were in this week?
I'm getting concerned.
You know what, Ben? Just call this
the
Alzheimer's episode.
To you too. But no, I had the car down in South Beach, where most Lamborghinis and Ferraris just blend in with the background. But everywhere I went, people were taking pictures of it, and I have a couple highway hearsays that are priceless. But it was just one of the best cars I've ever driven. as far as raw power.
How did that V12 sound?
You heard it, Craig.
I don't even think that did it justice, because when if you just rev the engine, which I tried doing for the phone, I was telling Michelle earlier, I actually was on the phone with someone trying to find the proper area that it would turn out best on a phone call. And I found one alley in South Beach, and I'm sure I pissed off a lot of people in the neighborhood. But when you accelerate hard and you get to about like 5,000 RPM, it's like some baffles open up, almost like the Corvette. And the exhaust note just gets tremendously awesome, literally.
Do you think that's an exhaust baffle or like an intake, a secondary intake runner opening?
I mean, it could be that. I don't really know what was going on, but it got to a certain rev and it just sounded like a jet almost.
It's a host, host of angels opening up their lofty it was like, choir.
It was like, ah!
Literally.
But
it was literally angels.
So choir. How else was the drive then or not?
Zach knows this firsthand that any drive in Miami isn't going to be that enjoyable. It comes with a lot of stop-and-go driving, and I put 180 miles on the car and had to put two tanks of gas in it.
Holy shit.
Oh,
Christ. That's impressive.
No, wait. I burned the first tank, and then I had to put another tank in it, and then I burned that one off. So I burned two tanks. I didn't have to put two tanks in, but still, two tanks of gas for 180 miles.
That's pretty good.
But, I was driving it either off the gas or on the gas. There was no middle ground.
Well, that's the way you should be. You only have a limited time.
Yep.
To enjoy that.
I think that's why the video I'm playing on YouTube, the guy doesn't leave the parking lot. He's afraid he'll run out.
Well, it does come with a $2,600 gas guzzler tax.
Oh, so it doesn't actually burn the gas. It compresses it and jets it out the tailpipe, right?
Yes.
Into the eyes of waiting orphans, turns
out. It had a $3,700 paint job, which was called Morning Frost White. The wheels were $3,000, and the final price of the car was $299,585.
Dropping the bucket.
Yep. But I mean, it was an amazing car just to see it.
And was there anything that you would change about the car? Were you to buy it?
I would never even consider buying it. It's just something. It's like looking at a castle. And you just don't think about buying a castle because you can never afford it.
It's just outside the realm of this world.
Yeah. I mean, I really couldn't. A lot of the reviews I do, I try to put myself in the buyer's shoes. And, the Vantage I drove last year, I could imagine someone buying that because, it's Audi R8 priced and ZR1. But I can't see spending two houses to me on a car. Houses are cheap in Florida.
Great. So, Colin, you are also in a vehicle, something considerably more attainable.
Reasonable.
Yeah.
I guess.
What have you got?
I'm still in 2010 here, but a Chevy Camaro 2LT with RS package.
Nice.
V6. Yeah, I mean, my big thing, in my focus as a consumer journalist or whatever, is about a car being safe to drive in the city. And I got to tell you guys, I don't know about this. I mean, I'm getting more used to it, but I just don't really understand cars that you can't see out of. I don't know. It's like the government regulates so much stuff. Why can't they come up with a minimum spec on visibility? Because I have almost hit so many bikers. And
you went to driving school in China then.
not have seen people. Yeah, it's just like you just stop for a minute and it's just like, bam, oh, there was somebody there. Whoops. Because I can't see what I'm doing.
And, Colin, when you were starting to take press cars to review, you specifically told them that you wanted small cars to drive in Chicago.
Yeah.
And
but GM doesn't have anything like that, so.
Right. So what are the cars you've driven so far?
The Lambdas, the Equinox. I mean, I didn't really think about it the other day, but what do they have, right? It's all
they've got the Aveo. I mean,
yeah, but
FAO 5.
Is that in their fleet, though? I mean, they're only putting.
Oh no!
Yeah,
they're in the fucking fleet. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Oh yes. As someone who has lived that dream, let me
you know
tell
what,
you.
Guys? Whenever I see an Aveo,
it was in the fleet here because I drove it.
Whenever I see
it was down here too, in baby it's like blue.
It's like a bad flu virus. Everybody gets it.
Whenever I see somebody driving one of those, I'm like, you paid money for that car? I mean,
I know.
Honestly.
It's even worse when you see the G3.
Yes.
They paid the extra money for the Aveo.
It's G3 Wave.
Well, back on, stay on target, the Camaro, what'd you like about it? Anything or dislike for that
matter?
Well,
I mean, you know.
I heard it has bad sight lines.
I can only go back to dislikes, really. That's all I focused on. No, I mean, the steering feel is great and everything, but I mean, I felt like on this one, at least, there's like a delayed pedal engagement, and you got to really, when you're in either fourth or third gear, it's got a delayed kick down, I feel like, at least.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, cruising around in the city, it's like even our highway speed limit is 40 miles to the miles per hour. I always end up going 70 quite quick, trying to chase like a, you know, what was I chasing the other day? A BMW 7 Series. Oh, that reminds me. That was the part that really excited me. I saw a 2011 Ford Explorer camoed on Lakeshore Drive.
Hey.
I was trying to get my camera out, but yeah, with the bad visibility in that car, and you know, I didn't want to do anything more illegal with getting the camera up.
See, you should do the pit maneuver in that situation.
What? So get right in front of it,
and then get your camera confiscated.
No, you just tap him behind the back wheel and spin him out, and then when he crashes, you just go take all the pictures you want.
Jeffrey Ross can tell you all about running down camoed vehicles in a muscle car,
crashing a $2 million pilot vehicle. That'd be
no. Actually, I found out the car I ran down was the new X3.
Uh-huh.
But I
the
chased
one in
it down.
New York, they got the bomb threat on it.
Yeah, that was the one, actually. Yeah.
Now, Colin, mm-hmm. I understand there are some visibility issues with the Camaro.
I'm getting used to it, but it's funny because every time I try to parallel park or park it, I end up finding out, you know, I feel fine and everything. Then I'm 3 foot, you know, 3 feet away from the curb. But it's got a child
under the rear tire. Really embarrassing.
Stroller.
It's got the 21-inch wheel, so I really try not to hurt them by getting too close to the curb there. Yeah,
it's freaking huge. Yeah,
they're made for road rash. I mean, for curb rash.
What about rash, Michelle?
But, you know, as for the interior, everyone's always complaining about it. The interior is fine. I mean, like, you know.
I agree. I've been saying this.
In terms of materials and everything, like, why are people making love to their cars? Why are they feeling how soft the material is? Are you going to do that? Like, I don't really understand that
part.
Well,
Ben gets pretty
lonely. Oh, there's statistics out there, actually, about how many people actually pet their cars.
I think it's
pretty scary.
The thing I didn't like about the Camaro was it didn't offer navigation at all.
Oh yeah, that is terrible.
That big void in where the passenger airbag is, that's the only part of the interior I really hated. Like, you push on the dash and it feels like it's gonna suck your hand in.
I mean, don't get me wrong, that radio, the layout system is I don't know. I'm trying to be nice now because, you know.
Well, Zach will not be as nice when he presents.
Don't worry about it.
What were you driving, Zach?
Mercedes-Benz and Smart actually had me up to New York City to drive the 2011 Smart for Two electric drive.
I believe this is a record. It's the same vehicle 3 weeks in a row.
They're on to us. They're desperate for publicity, but they're not going
to
find it here.
Are they just going to keep giving it to every one of us until one of us says something nice about it?
Oh, please, God, no.
What, the Smart for Two?
Yeah.
412.
The electric one?
No, just the 4.2.
Oh, okay. Well,
Various versions of the 412.
All right, well, here's my shindig about the Smart. I had never driven a standard 4.2, and I have never... How do I say this? It was bad. Let's just put it that way. You know, the engine is incredibly loud to be so small, and the transmission, there's no way to drive that car smoothly, which is a nightmare. But for all of the the badness that is the standard 4.2, the electric drive was amazing. Like, going from one to the other is like drinking cough syrup and then drinking, I don't know,
moonshine.
Margarita or something else delicious and amazing. I hate cough syrup.
He was desperate in high school. It was very boring.
It takes out like all of the badness of the 4.2 and replaces it with just a quiet single gear electric motor. So the car is suddenly very smooth. Suddenly has excellent brakes because of the regenerative system on it, and it's very quiet, which is great. Now, they bill it as more of an urban deal. I think it's got a range of 82 miles total, but they sort of shy away from sticking an actual range on it. They want to say that it's got a 4 to 5 hour battery time at normal city speeds, which, if you think about it, you know, very few people, with the exception of Craig, spend any more than, you know, 2 hours in their car total a day,
yeah.
Which is pretty decent. Top speed, governed to 62 miles an hour, so you can forget getting on the interstate with this thing. It's not going to happen.
Sure you can. You
minimum 55. Speed limit's 45 on the interstate.
Well, you technically could.
Normal people won't.
Feel safe, you wouldn't?
Yeah, I would say that much. It has a 20 kilowatt electric motor that's capable of boosting up to 30 kilowatts if you stab the accelerator, which works out to around 40 horsepower or so.
Yeah, but what's that in horsepower?
God, somebody needs to hurt him.
Isn't it? It's squirrel power.
Wait, what is it?
It's squirrel power. No, it's 40 horsepower, and it feels quicker than the standard 4.2, even though it's got about 60%. Of the total horsepower, so it's down by about 40%. But it has 88 foot-pounds of torque, so that's 20 more foot-pounds than a standard 4.2. So off the line, you have no problem keeping up with any traffic. Like, we drove it in Brooklyn. We had no problem. I didn't feel like I was slow or in danger of holding anybody up. It was pretty cool. They say that they don't even give a 0 to 60 time. They just say 0 to 37 is 6.5 seconds.
Holy crap. That's slow.
Which, again, seems really slow, but, you know, time yourself in traffic the next time. How often do you get to 40 miles an hour, you know? It just worked. I got into the car, and I really thought that I was going to be meeting, you know, the grim reaper of the automobile. You know, I expected something that was going to be the complete opposite of everything I love about driving. And it turned out to not be that at all. You know, it just functioned like a normal car, which was the biggest surprise.
Sometimes, you know, you get the cupcake, and when you bite into it, there's that treat in it in the middle, in the center.
Like custard?
New goodies center, yeah, but not Dairy Queen.
Custard. Two downsides. Well, first, you can charge it through a 220-volt outlet, and they say that if the battery is between 20 and 80% charge, that'll take 3.5 hours to charge. But the real downside is the cost. They're only leasing 250 of them in the U.S. until 2012, and each one carries a price tag of $600 a month.
I wouldn't pay $600 for the whole car.
Right.
Sorry. Well,
the lease is for 48 months, and they have a $2,500 downstroke, so everything you pay at signing. So that makes the final price tag on the sucker $31,000, which is ridiculous. It's insane.
Okay, that's no longer the spare designer purse. This is
like for serious cash.
You could freaking put lead acid batteries in it. And
they say, well, interestingly enough, the one that they're going to lease, the battery pack comes from Tesla. So it's the same stuff that you're finding in the Roadster, but they say that they're working on a proprietary system that'll be dropped in, and they call that Level 3 technology, and that's what'll show up. It'll be cheaper. It will show up in the car when it goes officially on sale in 2012. And they say that the MSRP will be significantly lower, which I sure as f- hope so, because that's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Well, real good. Oh. Who'd have thunk you'd have something nice to say about the smart car, Zach?
Yeah. And the other thing is they say that it you know, losing the engine and transmission and putting in the electric crap added 300 pounds to the car total, so it now weighs about 2,100 pounds, which you think that adding weight to a car like that would be really crappy, especially considering all the horsepower you lose. But the effect was that the car just didn't feel as bouncy, you know, which was great, you know. Just it drove and felt like a decent little car.
So you've got a husky passenger in the seat there.
It really is. It blew me away. So there you go.
Well, real good then. We can transition on down the list here now and take a look
at Colin them. Likes this. Colin would drive this in Chicago.
Yeah. I love this. This is awesome.
But would you spend that amount of money on this, Colin?
I mean, well, you guys are all saying, woo, whatever. I mean, it's an electric car. I mean, that's affordable for an electric car, I think. I mean, there aren't any, but no, I wouldn't pay that much.
Mud Monster just said that Colin would drive the Juke. But I have to tell you, Colin, we're actually considering the Juke for one of the cars for the Gazelles race in Morocco next year. So
yeah.
I think
it's one of the most attractive cars, really. A 2011 cars. I really like it. I know that's going against the grain, but yeah. You gonna kick me out? Wait,
you didn't get a job with Nissan instead of cars.com?
Yeah, or with Nissan. I'm a mole.
That sounded very Nissan-y.
What do you drive again?
Nervous laughter.
You're on to me.
I drive a Hyundai Accent.
Olay.
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
And now's the time for nervous laughter, by the way.
Is that the one that has the Scotch tape clear coat?
Yep.
All right, guys. Time for our Auto Gadget segment now. All right. We got two of them here, so I'm going to bang through these right quick. Benjamin, you tagged our first one on the list here. Comes courtesy of the Engadget blog site.
Jesus Christ, Craig.
And there is a product, an application, as it were, for iPhone users such as yourself, Ben. And I guess it allows you to use your iPhone as a webcam.
You know, it's funny you chose this.
Well, you chose it, actually.
Well, I mean, I bookmarked it, but I actually didn't bookmark it for the purpose of the show, to talk on the show, because it's not very automotive in nature. The reason I bookmarked it is for our great American Roab trip. I thought perhaps it would be useful because we'll be live blogging and Ustreaming and all kinds of stuff. And I thought, I don't know, we could use the iPhone as a webcam and, like, hand it around or something. So I thought, maybe worth the purchase. It's like $4.99, and yeah, it does exactly what you said. It turns your iPhone's camera into a webcam for the computer. I think it hooks up via Bluetooth or something.
Shortwave radio.
Something like that.
My phone does this. Everybody, I have to say, this iPhone 4 thingy, like, everyone's like, but it does this, and it does this, and it's like, my phone already does all this
but
stuff.
But does yours have Steve Jobs on it? I don't think so, Michelle. That's the difference. You know?
I like a man that's going to stay around a bit longer.
Oh.
Like Elon.
Well, that's something.
Yeah, Elon.
Can we do Skype with your phone?
We can. Yeah. I have Skype on it.
But video Skype?
Yeah.
She's got that really? Nokia.
Look, okay. The Nokia 9... In 97, when you go to call somebody, it gives you the option of doing a phone call or a video call. Because if you know other people than in 97, you can just go ahead and do video calls without Skype even.
But you see, that's Skype. The whole problem with the iPhone 4. I was really excited for a front-facing camera. Very excited. But you can only do it to other people with iPhone 4s. And how many people do you know?
Yeah, I can use Skype to do it.
I mean, how many people do I even know who have
iPhones?
You're
not even going to get one right away, Ben.
I'm not.
As ravenous an Apple fanboy as you are.
Because I'm not ready to renew my contract. But.
Colin, what's your stance on contracts?
Social contracts?
Prenuptial contracts.
Just general contracts, Apple products.
Anyway, I'm just saying. We'll talk more about the Great American Roab trip.
Yes, later on.
Later on, but...
This is a premature segue.
Yes.
I just wanted to broach the subject with everyone so we're all on the same page then.
Oh, okay.
I'm excited by it.
And with that, we've got another special...
you got to boot Colin off, yes. I'm waiting for you to do it.
Stay on target.
We're too close.
Stay
I'm
on
just
target.
Watching the clock, guys. It's dragging out a little longer and kind of comfortable here.
A little
so.
Longer.
Yeah. What else do you have to do?
Eat something.
They're going to Chinese.
I'm starving.
That's right. Give that man more water.
I want vegetable
Craig has
guarma.
No stored energy in his body whatsoever. There's just,
I'm not
just
like
muscle,
a sea
bone,
mammal,
and
Michelle.
Blood. So when he starts, you know, crashing, you know, it's just his body's feeding on his brain matter as we speak.
You know, that's actually very accurate, Zach. Were you emaciated at one point in your life?
Well, I was a child of the South, you know.
The stroke belt.
Sorry, the stroke.
Anytime I can use that phrase, I try to. Yeah, you can do shots out of the back of my hand, right, Ben?
Yeah, we've tried that trick.
All right. It's a good
that's an image
way.
I don't want.
You know what? That's
Ben slurping liquid.
That's not what I meant.
Hand.
That's not what I meant.
Ben also owns a cat.
We've tried it.
Oh, everything has come out wrong.
Put it back in.
Oh,
then.
You've been eating Hot Pockets again?
Yeah,
well, speaking
I think
of
so.
Hot Pockets, I didn't, well, earlier today. Wait.
Oh. Hey, we're still doing pockets. A segment.
Okay, our next auto gadget. Hey, comes courtesy of Engadget again, Ben.
Wow.
The 2011 Volkswagen Phaeton. Get some fancy.
Did you guys stop recording and not tell me?
It's a cruel joke.
No, Jeff, that would be cruel. So
Jeff,
cruel.
Jeff, do me a favor. Say the F-bomb.
No. Please don't.
Frick.
Oh, there we go.
So Volkswagen premiered its new redesigned Phaeton, which is the top-tier luxury car from the German automaker, in case you weren't aware. So they're showing this Phaeton, and I believe they're going to sell it in China. But it's getting some fancy new technology. It uses GPS technology and Google Maps to show you satellite images of where you're driving. Pretty cool. And it also has the ability to read street signs, like posted speed limits, no passing zones, and other things of that nature. Pretty amazing stuff, if you ask me.
Don't
what
some cars
good is
already
it
read
if it
speed
reads
limits?
It? Yeah, but if it reads it and nobody's listening, where's the bear pooping? I mean, really? Like, it's one of those.
I think
it's
there's
one of
something
those,
about a tree
wait, hold on,
falling
hold on.
In the woods.
Yeah, that
I
was.
I think we need a shirt that says that. Where is the bear pooping? Quote Michelle Norano. Oh, wow.
Michelle's just a soundbite factory here.
We already know that people don't read signs, and they don't
or listen to roundabouts.
They don't listen. No, they don't listen to roundabouts, and they don't listen to their cars giving them warning signals. So,
isn't this also something that GM and BMW are implementing? I know that GM started, they showed it on the Opel Insignia before it was released. That they were going to have a system like that as well, and that BMW is doing it. Are they just saying that this one's production ready? Because there's still research. I shouldn't say anything. I'm sorry. I know that it ruined everything.
The answer to that question
you're,
would mean
you're
that we would
sounding intelligent,
had,
Colin.
But Colin, is it production ready?
We would have had to have read the article in order to answer your question, Colin. So really,
you know the best way to sum this up. Farfagnugan. There you go. It's the last word in the article, right?
That's a great summation.
Yes, from us, sadly.
There you go. Yeah. So, yeah, I think this is actually a technology the supplier company Continental is working on.
Oh, will we be finding out more next week?
I would stay tuned if I were you.
Ooh. Greg just got paid for his trip.
Yep. All right,
this,
so
this sorry,
expect
could I just,
yes, go ahead, Colin.
Feature on autowriters.com next week.
Go, Colin.
Does a Phaeton look like a Acura RL to you guys at all, or is it just me?
It's you.
It's like a big jet of golf.
Like a Germanized version.
A Germanized version of ugly? No.
A much more attractive face. Yeah, I don't know. It's got sort of that roof line, I guess.
Mm.
Like, look towards the rear. That's where I'm seeing.
Close one eye.
Squint. I'm squinting.
Half covered the hair lip.
Look through my eyes. Yeah. You'll see.
Whoa. Oh. I'm seeing parts of Mexico City I never wanted to see.
What was that song you were singing earlier, Ben?
Sweet Caroline?
Yes.
Dun, dun, dun.
Okay, hey, it's the next segment, yeah.
This is our first show. This is what this is.
It's a recreation of reenactment.
Highway hearsay. Tales from the open road.
Highway hearsay is all about what we've seen out on the road, from weird sightings to stupid things people do. We received a slew of listener submissions this week, actually, well, just from Mirko, but he sent in a couple things for us. Ben, what have we got here?
Okay. Well, I believe we have an opal that Mirko
sparted all over it.
Someone get that man some coffee.
It's the coffee's poisonous, Michelle.
I'm crashing. apparently,
excellent. Oh my god!
Apparently, we have an opal that Mirko spotted. I believe it's a opal senator, and I'm assuming this is in Germany. Is that
his hometown,
anywhere close to correct, Craig?
As I recall.
Since you were the one.
If you're wondering what the Opal Senator looks like, it looks like a Chevy Corsica or something really crappy.
But what's so interesting about this?
Well, it's a flat rust brown.
Hot.
Rusty,
but
really.
It's so well.
Rusted.
Evenly rusted. It's patina, really.
But it does have this one quarter panel that I love. Like, I would actually take the quarter panel off that car and hang it on my wall.
Well, you do a lot of strange things.
It's not like the car is just rusty. They just stripped all of the paint off, well, most of the paint off it with some sort of paint remover. And it looks to have been very intentional. And it's an interesting effect. You know, I'll give them that much. It was pretty cool. And it has like some sort of Chinese character. Is that Chinese? I guess it is. Some kind of characters on the driver's
Sanskrit
side door.
Something.
See, I like it because I think it's a work in progress.
Aren't we all?
Exactly. It's so reflective of all of us.
It's a mirror, really.
They do this effect in some buildings downtown. I can't remember what this is called, but I mean, it's basically rust. It's like what Zach's saying. It's like the rust is a protective coat, basically. And
does the rust protect it from rusting, though?
That's really the question. And does the bear poop in the woods?
No. Where's the bear pooping in the woods?
You know what? Well, you know what's driving this car? One hand clapping. And you know where it's going?
Genius.
To see if the tree makes a sound.
You're too clever, Michelle. Is somebody pumping like carbon monoxide in the office? I can't see color anymore.
I think Michelle's leaking gas oven is transmitting over Skype.
We are so close.
It's not leaking gas. I promise.
We're closing
you
in. Oh, we're closing in.
Well, thank you, Mirko. We always appreciate reader sightings like that, especially coming from the continent of Europe. We don't have many reporters out there, so keep sending what you got. And Jeff, you had something to do with Autism Martin, Aston Martin.
Jesus Christ!
Wow,
Jeff, in that one glimmering moment, I had hoped you had mustered up the strength and courage to walk away. I was really hoping that Craig would turn to you and be like, Jeff, this next segment's all about you, and there would just be beautiful, pristine silence, like a protest, like civil disobedience. You know, God.
You hope that you come and I'm not here one day.
No, that's not what I mean at all. I was hoping for a stand. You know,
see, carbon monoxide.
I'll tell you what. I'm gonna hit Craig for you.
Oh, thank God.
Can you go hit him with Craig, that piece of sushi?
That must have hurt.
It did. You knocked the hunger right out of me.
So while I was driving the Aston Martin, I went to a Publix. I hadn't gotten out of the car yet, and this guy walks up to me offering me a business idea that him and his buddy came up with, thinking that anyone that could drive a $300,000 car must be good for making business ventures. This was,
I love it.
He comes up to me, he shakes my hand, and I had already come up with a lie for the car because I was getting sick of explaining the automotive journalism, and then I was getting sick of explaining it's not mine. So I just started telling people it was my boss's car. At which point, this guy just turns around and walks away. But this morning is the best.
I thought you had a great idea. What happened?
It's a home-based business. You want to work out of home?
Dotted line. So this morning, I'm driving the car back to STI, and this van pulls up next to me. I thought he was going to say, nice car. He yells out the window, hey, I'll do your dry cleaning for free, and proceeds to throw me. It looks like a dry cleaning bag. I'll have to get a picture of it. It's a dry cleaning bag wrapped in a ribbon. This company is called dryeco.com. There's a little bumblebee on it. But he just throws me a laundry bag into the car. And I'm like, I don't know what to do with this, but
damn it
if it's not a good story.
That was a really good story.
Well, I guess it is true that when you have money, like, just gets cheaper, you know, because people just want to give you things.
It takes money to make money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Does that happen to you guys a lot, too? It's like every time, like, some, you know, a guy that I work with brings out the video cameras or whatever, they think we're in a movie or something. They start propositioning us. They want us to film their kids. It's crazy.
We don't want to hear about people propositioning you.
Yeah, and I have a menacing scowl that keeps people at bay, so. And guns to back it up. Yeah, so.
What you should have said, Jeff, when the guy walked up with a business opportunity, be like, stop. I will listen to your idea if you fill up this car. That's what you should have said. And see if he was really dedicated, and you get a free tank of gas out of it. It would have been great.
Give me $50 in this hand, and I will listen to you for 5 minutes.
But, Jeff, you don't really look like the kind of high-class person that could afford a Aston Martin.
No,
you know?
I was wearing
Jeff smarts up.
But I wasn't. I'd been driving around with the top down all day, so I was – pretty.
You started to say you were driving around topless.
Yes, yeah. I did. I'll say that. That was even worse.
Oh, God. Well, keep the aloe vera nearby, Jeff.
But I will send you guys a picture of my dry cleaning bag. And if you're ever in Miami and you need an eco-friendly dry cleaning, call now or sign up online at dryeco.com.
Why are they plugging some random company?
Yeah, just plug them.
Mark that, Ben.
I agree with Jeff. You have to reward.
He threw something out of his window at a moving car, and I applaud him for that.
That's crazy.
Right, yeah. All right. I'll give it to you.
One free plug for throwing things at me.
Oh my God! I got to get on
this. All of our listeners are in Miami.
They have a special at Denny's named after that city.
I also do free plugs for banks throwing money at me too.
All right, so are we done here, Ben?
No, actually, we've got a new segment coming up.
Oh no, the suicide segment.
Yes, mass suicide.
Everyone drinks the Kool-Aid and we go to the spaceship.
We've got our final segment of the week coming up. It's unsolicited car advice, but first, I'm afraid Colin
has to fly the coop. Yeah. That's right.
They were secretly voting about it, and they're
you lucky bastard. Yeah,
well, don't push too hard.
Just tell my wife I love her.
I will.
Colin, Mr. Birdman.
Yes,
it's always a pleasure. We're glad you could make it again. You put up with
this
train wreck.
Caw, Colin.
It's more of a train wreck with a tsunami mixed in with gravy or something. It's terrible. Cataclysmic.
Ooh, and gravy.
Have you ever had a gravy sickle, Michelle?
Let's just move on.
Where can we find Colin's work, Craig?
He is at cars.com, right?
And Autobird blog.
The Autobird blog, where you do another podcast.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I'm at the autobirdblog.com. Got the Autobird podcast. Yes, and cars.com soon.
Okay. Well, we
and,
work for you.
Yeah,
at
thanks
all of
a lot, guys.
Thank you, Colin.
I'm
thanks,
leaving.
Colin.
Bye. Thanks, Colin.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye. Now let's give some car advice.
Let's do it.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, it's the moment you've all been salivating for. Another rousing installment of Unsolicited Car Advice.
Roab calling.
Go away. We don't want none.
With your host, me, Craig Cole. We've got a very special lady on the horn this week, Stacey Eamon, our sales lady at Blue Sky Productions, parent conglomerate of Autoline. Glad you could make it, Stacey.
Thank you, and I appreciate being invited by all of you.
Well, we are tickled to have you here, truly.
Thank you.
Yes. So you are in the market for... I understand you're in the market for a new vehicle. Tell us a little bit about what you're looking for in a new car. What do you want?
It has to have four wheels, a steering wheel.
So five wheels, really.
Oh, there you go.
Plus the spare. So six.
There you go.
Right. It doesn't have to have a spare. It could have run flats.
No, that's true, Jeff.
Oh, there you go. Bridgestone.
She's a pro.
It has to have Dow Betamate structural IAC interiors, and it has to have Lear seats. How do you feel about that?
Well, I feel great about that.
I think you're looking for the Dodge Auto Line daily.
I want a car that gets good fuel economy to a reasonable amount. I'm not a eco car girl. Okay. I want it to have some amenities of today's interiors because I am an on-the-road virtual office salesperson.
Mm-hmm.
And so it has to have some of those asset values like plug-in phone or my ability to engage my different types of mode of communication into the car so that I have some secondary support. It has to be fun. And it can be anything from an SUV, a car, a truck. That's where I run into the wall because I walk onto a dealership lot and they freak me out.
Well, let's throw this out there. How about a Jeep? A Jeep. What is it? The Compass. No, not the Compass. The Patriot. Pardon me. Jeep Patriot.
Nope.
Okay. Great.
I'm glad she said it because I was going to. So that works out just
fine. Nope. What's the quality rating on a Jeep Patriot?
Better than bad?
Employee, it's 10 out of 10.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Okay, well, what brand? Do you have any specific brands that you favor?
I think before we do the brands, we need to know what's your price bracket? Like, what are you shooting for?
I am a frugal Englishman. So
I
know all cars are about $35,000, but I want to spend $22,000.
Okay.
So how do I do that or get somewhere near that? I put about 25,000 miles on my car a year. It is not value add for me to put a big financial investment into it.
And how many people are you going to be hauling around?
I have a minimum of four in my family, plus baseball equipment, plus chairs.
I have a suggestion. You could get something for considerably less than $22,000. How about $2,200? Go to a police auction, pick yourself up a lightly used Crown Vic. You'll be all set. Lots of trunk room, lots of back seat room. Stylish. People get out of your way.
Ben, will you punch him since Eric's not here?
Okay, because you look great in a Crown Vic, Craig, does not mean I would, okay? Some want to actually like the look of the car.
What's not to like? It's got clean,
and some don't
want to
get rear-ended
styling
and blow up.
Oh.
We're talking, I mean, Craig is
like the worst person to be giving car advice, I think, at times, because this is the person who walks into the auto show and is like, I don't understand all these, you know, special like walls and designs. You know, all we need is just cars, carpet, you know, maybe a few like velvet ropes to guide you here or there. I mean, that's about it. You know, it's just very simple. The cars stand on their own. And
so. I loved the Chrysler display 2 years ago. When it was
I know
cars.
You did, Craig.
Hey, it was there for 5 years. It was old. Let it go. You didn't like the pretty girls next to the cars this year?
He doesn't go for that.
Oh, Jeff, you are an asshole.
That's a whole nother show.
Nah, you are an asshole.
It's every Jeff. Show.
All right.
I have. Okay, go, Zach.
Given your criteria, I actually have something you might want to consider.
Okay.
I'm thinking maybe the 2010 Jetta Sportwagon. You can get that in either diesel or gasoline.
American. Would,
American?
We got a true patriot on our hands.
Yes.
Wait. Is the Jetta built in America? Hold on.
Central. Well, technically
we
North America.
We definitely have clients that promote and prosper by European manufacturers of automobiles. But for my particular role in the industry, I have to look like I support this automotive stability. And I also have a whole nother world in my sales world where I sell to the military and aerospace industries. And they don't necessarily drive all American cars. That's not what I'm saying. But it is better for me when I drive up to be supporting the American way.
Then how about a Chevy Equinox?
Good choice. Expensive.
No, buddy.
No, it's not.
That's what I'm willing to look at.
It's like right in the low 20s starting price.
Yeah.
How about the new Ford Taurus, Stacey? There are a lot of hardworking folks in Chicago that would appreciate your business where they build
also
that car.
More than my son vote for the
Taurus. Okay, Craig and Andrew, my son, vote for the Taurus. That's good. I'm going to test drive the Equinox.
Good
the
choice.
Equinox starts at 22.4.
See, and you know, 25 would be fine.
And let's see what the Ford starts at.
I think it's like 23.9.
Really that cheap?
I think so.
No, I think
oh, then there's the Fiesta.
25, 170.
Oh, well, I lied.
And I love Ford.
Ooh, what about a Transit Connect?
Hey.
I was thinking about that too, but did you have to retrofit it to get the seats put back in it?
Yes.
Plus, they smell like dog food.
No, they make them.
Yours smelled like dog food.
You can get them in wagon or van.
You have to order them with the passenger car seats, though. Most of the ones on the lot are bare.
How about a Chrysler 300C? Now, that might be a little more than your price range, but it's still a very nice car.
You know, the new one coming out or the old one?
Well, the current one. There is a new one coming out, so you might be able to get an even better deal.
Okay, all right. So is this going to be the only car in your fleet?
Yes.
Okay. All right,
my husband drives a Suburban.
Okay, so you do have another vehicle that you can take to the ball games, conceivably.
No, we drive separately. We have two children that play full-time softball and baseball.
So she what needs room.
How about a Fiesta hatchback?
No.
Okay.
Too small. Exactly.
All right. Well,
Stacy, Ford Flex. A little pricey.
That's way
That's
too pricey.
That's a lot of pricey.
That's like 30 base.
You guys, it shocked me. I went onto a Ford dealership lot, which took a lot. My husband wanted me to go look at them. He would not, you know, drive. That would not be his first choice, but he thought it'd be kind of fun as the other family car. I did go. I got out of the car and looked at the price and was shocked.
Yeah.
Absolutely shocked by the price.
Well, you know, Stacey, you get what you pay for.
All right. Yeah, right. What about
Taurus over the Flex?
Chevy Traverse.
A crew cab pickup, is that too manly?
I drove one for 5 years when I was pregnant with my 12-year-old, so I did that already.
And not terribly fuel efficient either.
Well, that was in the day where I didn't put 25,000 miles on my car.
How about a Jeep Wrangler?
No, you know, in orange would be spectacular.
Well, you'll be the only one driving it, right?
Gas.
They're terrible on gas, and they're terribly uncomfortable, and I do about 120 miles a day.
That's why I said the Equinox is cheap. It gets 32 miles per gallon on the highway.
So what are the technical cool things about an Equinox that GM's offering versus like a Ford tech package that they have? And I'm talking the sinks and the all that.
It's got OnStar.
Well, OnStar Ford's sucks. Got sync.
So if
Trump's
I crash into a wall, I can call somebody. I got a cell phone for that.
Yeah, no, haven't you ever watched the commercial? Your cell phone flies out of your purse when you get in a car accident.
And does all those commercials.
What about Buick LaCrosse or the new Regal?
Uh-huh. Okay.
I know that's a little bit more expensive. I think they started around 26 or so.
Yeah, the Regal starts at 26. Cool.
But they're really, really nice cars, and they would have everything that you would need tech-wise. As
what
far
do they
as
tech-wise?
Well, let's see here. I don't know.
I just drove a LaCrosse up from Miami, and it is a really smooth car to drive.
How did you feel? Are you a tall guy?
I'm 6'1".
Okay, so you're my husband is too.
And I got big muscles.
You're a geek boy. Did you feel comfortable in the car?
Oh yeah, it's a lot of room. The only problem I had with it, everyone around me on the road thought I was an old guy, so they kept trying to cut me off. But that was the only thing. Like inside, like everything feels good. I don't know how much this one costs because it's got like navigation and I'm sure it's fully loaded. And
how about either a Jeep Liberty or a Dodge Nitro?
No,
sporty.
Well, the Nitro though, my daughter likes that one. Here's the part of it. Michelle can relate to this. I have a daughter about to start driving. She doesn't want her own car. She just wants to be able to drive my car when she needs a car.
What 16-year-old wouldn't want a car?
My daughter's very busy. She doesn't have time for a car.
Oh, this Twitter generation sucks.
When you have a daughter, make them as busy as possible so that they don't have time.
To get pregnant.
There you go. Farm boy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I've been looking at the LaCrosse doodads while you guys were talking, and XM and MP3 playback on the XM radio comes standard. Bluetooth is available. I don't know what kind of tech package you have to pick up for that, and so is navigation.
Well, the LaCrosse is a very nice car, but it's Buick is still perceived as an elderly person's brand. So,
but if more young people buy it,
yes, Jeff,
she could be helping Buick.
I'm
survive.
Not young.
No,
oh, but you're not, Stacy.
What?
I'm not 70 either.
I got yelled at on Twitter for saying 68 was old.
Holy
that
crap.
Is, yeah, you're a bad boy.
No, but this, never mind.
Not Dodge old. Challenger.
Wow, okay.
Really? And you know me.
Dodge Challenger.
No,
look at the comfort of those.
Get tickets.
The car has wide haunches. Lots of room in the trunk.
That's lovely.
Okay,
compare
Stacey.
A LaCrosse to a Taurus. Tell me which one you'd pick between a LaCrosse and a
Ooh.
Taurus.
I would say Taurus.
Which one?
Taurus.
How about you, Zach?
I don't know, actually. I haven't had a chance to drive the Taurus, so I can't give an informed opinion there.
Did you guys drive the Taurus, Ben and Craig?
Yes.
Yep.
That's how I met Craig. Aww.
They're so comfy. Aww.
Oh, tell the story. Tell the story.
So Craig was staring at me from across the room holding his Sprite. And I came up to him with a glass of rum and said, "Sir, you look like you could use a drink." And he put his arm around me and said, "I like the Ford Taurus a lot."
That was the dumbest story I have ever heard, even as made up stories go. All right, guys. So before Stacy's got to get going here, I think. And we're dragging her precious time.
So what's the final verdict?
Yes, what do we think? LaCrosse and Taurus were two of the front runners. Jeep Wrangler also tickled her fancy.
Yes.
No?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's what I thought.
I question the comfort of the Jeep Wrangler.
From the criteria,
I don't think it's for you. I mean, your daughter would love it, I'm sure, but you'd get so butt tired, literally.
Exactly. Okay. That's what I thought, Michelle.
I say check out the Equinox. I think you like it.
I should.
It matches your criteria.
I will say that my one qualm about the Equinox is at that price, it's not great inside. You know, the base Equinox is pretty rough. And you know, if you've got a little bit more cash to spend, you know, if you can bump up to the 22, then you can easily get a very nice interior in that vehicle. I mean, Jeff's absolutely right. It's
what
great.
Is the price range of the Equinox for the different packages?
Cheap and not as cheap.
That is the most intelligent statement I've ever heard you make.
Well, thank you.
They get better on the Roundabout show.
Roundabound.
I think it's still less than 30 topped out. So
yeah, the LS starts at 22, the LT starts at 23, and then the LTZ is 28.
Okay, so we're not going to be able to nail this down. What's that, Michelle?
You could walk off the lot with it on.
What?
What do you think price you could walk off the top package? What do you think you could get negotiating with the dealer?
Depends on how good at talking you are.
And how much cleavage you show.
Okay. I don't have much to show, but
Michelle can give you all kind of tips about buying a car.
I don't have as much either, and you can buy these push-up bras.
Yeah, I'll go to Vicky Secrets and find one.
Okay, we better wrap this up before we get any take this conversation down a darker road than it's already gone.
I'm going to agree with Jeff there. I'm going to say go take a look at the Equinox. I think you'll like it.
Well, you could probably get like an LT. With like the 2LT package, that's 25.
That's pretty small.
Yeah, and it's got a lot of options on it.
And you drove one.
I drove one. I'm trying to look for the.
That was like a month ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago. I've driven like three in the last 6 months.
And you liked them.
I mean, like Zach said, I mean, it does have its issues, but you know, it was comfortable riding in. It's really good gas mileage, and it's plenty spacious inside.
And it's pretty good looking outside. You know, it's pretty mm-hmm. stylish.
So are we going to nail this down to one vehicle, the Equinox then? Or
I'm going to go test drive the Equinox.
Or do a short list, because we suggested Taurus, LaCrosse, if you want to spend a little
Taurus,
more.
LaCrosse, Equinox. And the Equinox.
I like all Perfect. Of those cars.
We did it!
Yay! Yeah. Standing ovation. Well, congratulations, like Stacey. You survived the Roundabout Unsolicited Car Advice interview.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it.
And before we let you go, we have to do it's customary for me to conduct a Roundabout exit interview on you. So,
okay.
First question. Are you ready?
Yes.
Overall, how satisfied are you with the preceding Roundabout interview? A, satisfied. B, somewhat satisfied. C, very satisfied. Or D, completely satisfied.
Completely satisfied, D.
It's the first time Craig's ever heard that.
That joke gets old the second time around.
Oh, did I say that before?
No, yes. Jeff did. Zach did. Oh. Whichever one.
I
whichever
think
it's
one funny every time, honestly.
I do, too. Whenever we can get in a couple jabs on Craig, it's a good day for me.
Okay. Second question. How likely are you to recommend the Roundabout podcast to your friends and family? A, likely. B, somewhat likely. C, very likely. Or D, they already subscribe.
I will recommend to my friends and family to listen to the Roundabout podcast.
Ding, ding, ding. Okay. Well, I'll just pencil you in for very likely then. Next question. True or false? I would return as a guest on Roundabout.
True.
We won. Yes.
Yay.
True. Only because of Michelle.
Next question. Next question. True or false? How many babies has Michelle Naranjo stolen?
I don't know. False.
I'm sorry.
Next question. True or false? Ben Sanders has a crush on Paul Lynde.
No,
Stacey, you better not be giving away any of my secrets.
Man crush.
More than a man crush.
Look who's talking.
We'll leave that one out. We'll skip that one. Agree to disagree. Next question. Have you ever had to ask someone what gender they are?
Yes.
Yes?
You should know.
Well,
do
tell the story, Stacey, before we let you go.
No, pretty sure it was I don't know really what it was, but I really should have asked. I wanted to, but my family wouldn't let me. We don't know if it's a girl or a boy. And she runs a particular center. Well, I call it, I don't know what to say.
Great. That's quite enough. Thank you. And Great, last yeah. question, Stacey. What's your daughter's phone number? Let me just write this down.
None of you are ever allowed to have
she's
that.
She's 12.
No, she's not.
18.
I thought
you... I have a 12-year-old son.
Oh.
Do you, Jeff didn't score well on listening skills in school.
No, he didn't.
And you're not going to score that phone number, Craig.
Oh, snap. Well, Stacey Eamon, thank you so much for joining us, giving us, or rather putting up with us. For the unsolicited car advice, and I hope we have helped guide you to a vehicle that's right for you.
Thank you, guys. It was great.
So can I wrap this baby up?
You can.
Zach Bowman, autoblog.com.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for joining us.
Glad to be here.
You don't have to lie.
I know.
Hey, what are you working on? Where are you going? Norway, something?
I would say next week, hopefully we will probably see a couple of my reviews go live. Got a review of the 2011 R-Class with its new schnoz, and a review of the 2011 Smart 4.2 electric drive that we talked about today.
Cool.
And so you can probably check those out.
Cool. Jeffrey Ross, Autotropolis.
That's me.
What you working on?
The review for the DBS. And I guess that's about it for planning wise.
Hmm.
I always try and stay up to the minute doing future stuff.
Cool.
I write in the future.
Cool. Future tense.
Yep.
All right. And Ben, can't close the show out without tipping my hat to you.
Okay.
Wait, what?
You're on the list, Michelle. Calm down. Calm down.
We were figuring you've choked yourself out with the gas already.
Depression guess. So Michelle, MissMotormouth.com.
See, he did forget.
No, it's in the script. It says road trip with Ben and Craig going out west. Suggestions on what we should do on our way? Now can you repeat that in a more convivial manner?
You don't want me to plug what I'm doing next week?
Yes.
Craig just forgot to delete it from the rundown. So, all right. Michelle, what are you up to?
You know, next week, unlike the other traveling people, I'm actually going to broadcast live from Extreme Outlaws race in Reno, Nevada. I'm going to be covering Rod Hall Racing again. Yay! And Rod is going to be racing the 1970 James Garner 442 Olds that you can see at rodhallracing.com. And it's so cute and hot. Emily's going to be racing the blue H3 that she ran in Baja. And I'm really excited because I'm actually going to take Henry because she's going to do some photography while we're there of the event, and including Tommy Lee playing one of the parties and Offspring playing the Saturday night party. And then on Saturday, I get to spend Father's Day with both Rod Hall and then fly to New Mexico and spend the rest of Father's Day with my own real father.
Like genuine father.
Yeah, my real father.
Wow. That's going to be a very special day.
Like
a dad,
both of them in one day.
Can we go back a second? Did you really call the 442 cute?
It is adorable.
Just double checking there.
It is.
Well, thank you, Michelle. You are a real treat. Enjoy your trip out to Roger Hall, and stay safe. Visit our website, roundaboutshow.com, for more great content throughout the week, including links and show notes. Also,
wait.
Please. What?
Why would people want to visit that website? Well, let me tell you.
Jesus Christ.
Ben, I'll hold this up for you. You can do the math.
I'm sorry, but we said we would talk about what we're calling the Great American Roab Trip.
Isn't he clever?
And I actually had put it in the rundown, and apparently you deleted it.
I did not delete it, but...
Well, apparently you did.
Well, just blame Craig anyway. He's so easy apparently. To blame.
Those Google documents get, you know, hijacked all the time.
Yeah, well, anyway.
Pirates, Costa Rican pirates or something.
Follow our website because in the coming weeks, Ben, Michelle, Craig, we will, in fact, as heard last week, be embarking on a road trip out west, as it turns out. No Dollywood. I'm sorry for everyone crying in the chat room. We had fierce debate over it, but...
No, really, Ben just said we're doing this or
no,
we're not going
I didn't,
at all.
And you know that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Craig, you didn't put up much resistance.
He never does.
Well, neither did you.
So no, I just said I'm easy
make,
from the beginning.
Make me a cohesive argument. That's all I'm going to say. Anyway, so... We'll be blogging on our way out there. Shut up, Craig. We'll be blogging on our way out there. We'll be live broadcasting from the car. It'll be fun, but stay tuned for further details. What else can people do to follow us, Craig? Twitter.com/roundaboutshow. You can go to Facebook.com/roundaboutshow.
The iTunes store, they can follow us
That's
there.
That's right. Well, you follow can actually download our stuff there.
Follow,
subscribe,
download.
It's called.
Well, or the Zune.
You can do the Zune Marketplace thing.
Yep, yep.
I'm sure you can join the social there and squirt podcasts at people.
Not anymore, actually.
Oh,
but,
sorry.
Yes, you can go also leave us a voicemail on our Google Voice number. And the number is 1559-ROAB-411, or in numbers, that's 1559-762-2411. So please give us a call, leave us a message, we'll play it on the air, and we appreciate that. So please do something for us. Anyway, thanks to all of you out there listening and surviving this podcast. Join us again next week as we circle the roundabout. I will not be here, but some other people will like talk to you then. So listen.
From the things. Bulmer House Hotel in Chicago, I'm Eric Kritko.
Good job, Craig.
He's still here.
Good job, Craig. All right, now maybe you want to shut up.
Keeping things running like a well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
On the spin cycle that I'm sitting on. What? God. Keeping things running like...
Craig's a special reader.
Yes, he is. Especially pissed off right now.
Hey, hold on. Michelle, you're Cylon-ing.
I am not. I am not.
You are too, too, too. We wait patiently.
Michelle.
Okay, be a little more patient.
Did you fix the stove yet?
Just be a little more patient. Just a little more. Just wait a minute. Just one more. Okay, I'm almost there. I'm almost... Almost. Okay.
Are we in?
We're in.
Okay.
Gotta ask. The answer is always no.